Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Job, 38th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? The morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.'" This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. "Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak to you as children. Widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. There was great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel lesson, and in particular, the words of the disciples. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? This is our text. This is a particularly interesting event in the life of Jesus from a number of different points of view. First of all, it wasn't that long ago that we were celebrating Trinity Sunday and emphasizing the fact that while Jesus is God, he's also fully and completely man. And you see that unity of person in our text for today as we encounter Jesus exhausted, as he probably was on numerous occasions. No doubt, as he was teaching people, they were always crowding about him. And long after perhaps the disciples had laid down, he was probably still talking to individuals. He gets into a boat. And apparently he shortly thereafter falls asleep. And as sometimes occurs with myself when I'm exhausted and fall asleep. Anybody hear thunder this morning? Some of us didn't. I was pooped. Tired. As probably our Lord Jesus was. Fully God, yet fully man. And as he's sleeping, of course, that terrible storm comes up. Remember, these people, these disciples of Jesus, several of them were longtime fishermen. They'd been out on the Sea of Galilee many times before. And the Sea of Galilee was kind of noted for sudden storms coming up. But these seasoned fishermen are in a panic. And there is Jesus back in the boat, still sleeping. And they go to him and they rouse him. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? It's interesting the interpretation that they put upon Jesus' sleep. As if Jesus doesn't really care about them. Now, putting this scripture lesson into a little bit broader perspective, they've already witnessed incredible things being done by Jesus. There was the paralyzed man. We don't know how long he was paralyzed, but his friends and neighbors couldn't bring him to Jesus because of all the crowds. And so they open up an area in the roof and they let him down before Jesus. This man, well known for being paralyzed, is healed. Diseases obey him. Another man with a withered hand is set before Jesus. And with a word, he heals it. How many of you have ever had your arm in a cast for like 4 or 5 weeks? Raise your hands. Remember what your hand was like after that? when you pulled it out. You know, just a few weeks. It's amazing how much muscle mass, maybe a few other things that you lose. To have a man with his hand suddenly restored. You know, this is an amazing thing. This Jesus has incredible power to do things. He also casts out demons. When he speaks, things happen. He commands. And things that you wouldn't ever think could obey just a word, obey. Why are they so worried when Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat? Well, I can tell you why. That's our nature. We fear things that God tells us we don't have to fear. We worry about things that God tells us we don't have to worry about. And it starts not long after we're born. Mommy can be, what, 5 feet away? It's a time to panic. I witness 2-year-olds at my house 4 times, sometimes 5, sometimes 7 times a week. How many of you have ever seen a 2-year-old go into a panic over nothing? Yeah, we've all witnessed it. From birth, we are born fearful. We are born not trusting, even when there is no reason for it. We don't trust those who care for and love us. And that same foolish lack of trust that we have for our earthly parents, we also have for our loving and merciful God, who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world because he loved us so much that he was willing to have his Son die. We might live. In so many ways, God demonstrates his love and his care for us. But it is in our nature, even as adults, to sometimes want to panic. It may be over issues at work. It may be over infirmity that we have. There is a side of us, at least for those of us who have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that knows that we have nothing to fear in life or in death. But Satan still is alive and well in our hearts, always wanting to whisper in our ears, yeah, but this time's different. Or if God really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. And like the disciples sitting in that boat, who had witnessed the power of God firsthand over life itself, they begin to doubt. Don't you care? And Jesus, consenting to the weakness of their faith, rouses himself. And he rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Peace, be still." And they are. And what's fascinating is the reaction of the disciples after that. And they were filled with great fear. Who is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. Maybe for the first time they are finally grasping. They are in the presence of God himself. God, who with a word can bring the heavens into existence. God, who with a word could also destroy the earth. One of the things that's pretty consistent throughout Scripture, when God displays the fullness of his power, is that the first reaction of those witnessing it usually is to react with fear. Because we're not accustomed to people having great power over us. We don't use that power to manipulate us, to push us around, sometimes even to destroy us. I think we're all familiar with that saying that speaks about power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. God, who does have absolute power, is not like man. God is, as Scripture says, love. And though he has absolute power over the world, his goal is not to destroy it, even though it stands in rebellion against him. But combined with his absolute love, he sends his Son into human flesh to become exhausted for us. And one day to be beaten to the point of death for us, and then taken to a hill, nailed to a cross. No, he can command the winds and the waves, and they be still, pay for our sins, to show us the ultimate act of love. People are standing beneath the cross mocking him. If you're really the Son of God, why don't you come down from there? He hangs there, seemingly powerless, but in reality showing the power of absolute love. And then on the third day, shows forth his power not only over the winds and the waves, the power over illness and sickness and disease, power over life itself by rising from the dead. When there is a God who loves us that much, what do we have to fear? And the answer is nothing. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.